صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Respected Sheikh Osama, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We'd like to welcome everybody out again, and we thank everybody for joining us. Inshallah, to begin the program, we're going to have, inshallah, a little bit extra barakah. We're going to have several Quran reciters today. So inshallah, we're going to welcome our first reciter, Abbas Hussein, to come up here with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عما يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون. كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون. ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا وجعلنا الليل وجعلنا نومكم سباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
One more loud salawat على محمد وآل محمد. And then our second reciter, inshallah, is going to be Jafar Hussein. If he can also come up with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Wa ma adraka ma laylatil qadr. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Another loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ajal farajahum. Thank you to Abbas and Jafar. Inshallah, before we welcome Sheikh, just a few quick announcements. The first one is that, inshallah, as we have mentioned before, this Tuesday, so a couple days from now, we're going to be having our potluck iftar together in commemoration of the birth of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. So we're going to be meeting here at 8:30, inshallah. And the program will include iftar, dua al-iftitah, a short talk by Samahat al-Sheikh, and then we'll be here, inshallah, just to enjoy one another's company. As I mentioned in the days leading up to this, we were going to bring in like a sign-up sheet with more details. So we have over there on that table a sheet that has some slots that people can sign up for, either to bring food that is already listed on the sheet, if you'd like to do that, or we also have some blank slots. That way, if anybody wants to bring something that has not been written, they can also bring that. And then for anybody who's not able to bring something for whatever reason, that should not be a reason why not to come. So if you don't have time or whatever the case is, we still would hope everybody would still come out regardless. And inshallah, there shouldn't be a problem. We should always have extra food, inshallah. So besides that, we have just kind of looking forward for what we have for the remainder of the month. Inshallah, we said the birth of Imam Hassan, the potluck is going to be Tuesday, May 21st. The location is here as well at the Islamic Library. The Nights of Power as well are coming up. So we have 3 days, Thursday, May 23rd, Saturday, May 25th, and Monday, May 27th. Each night we're going to be starting at 10 o'clock p.m. inshallah, so just enough time to have iftar and make it over there. And the location will be the Bint Jebel Cultural Center on Miller, next to the school Great Revelations Academy. And then we also wanted to request that if anybody is interested in participating as a volunteer, inshallah, the reward will be your guys's, and we could use the help for various things such as setting up, breaking down, cleaning up, directing traffic, security, all those kind of things, inshallah. Whoever's interested in helping out from the brothers or the sisters as well can either speak to Brother Mahdi Balut or myself after the program. After the Nights of Power, we have on Wednesday, May 29th, a Know Your Rights seminar, which is, inshallah, going to be a very beneficial and a very important gathering that is very relevant to kind of the climate that we're dealing with and a lot of the questions and concerns that a lot of people have, especially like within the Muslim community for people who are traveling. Inshallah, that will be beneficial for us all. And then the last gathering that we'll have for this year's Shahar Ramadan program would be Yawm al-Quds al-Alami. We will be gathering in front of the Henry Ford Centennial Library on Michigan Avenue, and the details are at the end of the videos that we've been showing, and they're also online, and we're sending them out through WhatsApp. For the Know Your Rights seminar, inshallah, more details in terms of location and time will be sent out, but just keep an eye out for that, and then inshallah, spread the message as far as possible, because it's something that inshallah everybody will benefit from and needs to benefit from. So inshallah, with that, we'll welcome Sheikh Osama to begin the lecture with aloud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, by the grace of Allah, we've been able to now complete the story of Nabi Yunus. This is the last segment of his story, and today what we'd like to talk about is his legacy, his core message, his core values, things that we can take away, inshallah, practical things for ourselves. As I mentioned from the very beginning of this story, this is a happy story with a happy ending. So it's true, it did take blood, sweat, and tears for 33 long years. It took that. It took our prophet Nabi Yunus to be imprisoned for several days in the whale. It took Allah threatening punishment and chastisement and even bringing it to the last stage where the people were on the brink of being eradicated from the dunya. It took that. But in the end, everything worked out for good. Everything worked out to be beneficial. Everyone was saved. Nabi Yunus made it, which is most important, but then also all of the people, the mu'mineen. People became mu'mineen. They went back to God, which is Allah's purpose for sending anbiya. So what I want to talk about now are some of those happy verses that talk about this. Three verses from two places in the Holy Quran. One of them from Surah Yunus. I'm going to give the address, and then after that, brothers and sisters can look especially at the Arabic of it and see the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give us out of the latter part of the verse. You'll see it's repeated in both sides of the story, but there's lessons, of course, in all of it, and our job is to ponder over the Quran and try and draw those quality lessons that help us change our direction. So, first, brothers and sisters, I'll direct your attention to Surah Yunus, which is Surah number 10, and it's verse number 98. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off in this way. He says, فَلَوْ لَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةً آمنت فنفعها إيمانها. Why has there not been any town that believed آمنت فنفعها إيمانها? Its faith benefited it. This is going to be a lot of what our discussion is today. The iman came to their rescue. It was beneficial for them. Illa qawma Yunus. Except for the people of Yunus. Kashafna anhum adhab al-khizyi fil hayat ad-dunya. We removed from them that humiliating punishment in the life of this world. This is also important. Wa mata'anahum ila heen. And we caused them or granted them enjoyment for a while. The first part was talking about benefit, iman benefiting. The second part, we granted them enjoyment. وَمَتَعْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينَ. Second set of verses for us to look at. This one is Surah 37, Surah Safat, 37:147. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. We sent him, so now Nabi Yunus at this stage has recovered. He's better because remember he was in the well, he was sick, he came out, Allah made the gourd grow over him. Now he's healthy, he's strong, alhamdulillah. Allah sends him back to the same people. He goes back to the people. Allah says, we sent him to the people of Nainawa to 100,000 or more. So he's going to a large community. Fa'amanu. They had already believed during his occultation. They believed when their prophet was away. The test was now when the prophet returns. The ghaibah is over. The leader, the wali, is there. Now what? فَآمَنُوا. They believed. What happened? فَمَتَعْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينَ. We caused them to enjoy. Again, for a period of time. So what happens is, we're going to borrow now from some of what we find in the ahadith. When Nabi Yunus is sent back, and the beautiful part about this story is our past doesn't matter when Allah is with us. Nabi Yunus was someone who's been rebuked. He's been reprimanded. Allah punished him. But Allah sends him back, and now you'll see with what glory he goes back. Listen to the hadith. So he goes back, and the people, they welcomed our prophet with open arms. They got word that he was back. This is a hadith we find from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So the context is that they have now heard Nabi Yunus is back. Fakharaju, the people go out. Fakharaju fawajaduhu, they go out looking. Where is our prophet? Where is that wali? Where is the guide? And they find him. Fajau bihi. Now the community is now bringing our prophet, bringing him back before the same prophet who there were threats, there was punishment, there was banning him, rebuking him, mocking him. Now he's coming in the throngs. Everybody's so happy and rejoicing. And then the it continues. وَآمَنُوا. Of course, they believed. وَحَسُنَ إِمَانُهُمْ. They had excellent faith. These were excellent believers. Now, Allah has something to say about this verse. He says that Allah allowed them to live to their natural term of life. Brothers and sisters, many people never go as far as their true potential is. A lot of people have to potential, all kind of potential. And according to some of our hadith, most people never live even to their true lifespan. They commit sins. They do wrong, they go against Allah's system, they don't experience the joy Allah wanted to give them. Most people like that. These people believed. Not only believed, but beautiful iman, true iman, accepting. We'll talk about that. Then Allah allowed them to live and experience the fullness of His blessing. So true iman, that beautiful iman, is that iman that has one intellectual conviction. We are absolutely convinced of Allah's religion, this is God's book, these are anbiya, one. Number two, we know that in Islam there are responsibilities. There are wajibat. There are economic wajibat. There are familial wajibat. There are social political wajibat. Brothers have been reminding us, sisters, brothers have been reciting poetry, reminding us we have a duty. There are social political wajibat.
The thing about being a true mu'min or mu'mina is this though. This is the test that people failed for the previous a'imma. They failed this for even other prophets. They weren't able to do this part. What was that part? The believers aren't supposed to pick and choose. Islam is not a buffet. I like the fasting of Salah. I like the charity of Islam. I like that. But the social political side of Islam, those responsibilities. So some people, when it comes to Islam, they have their favorite parts of Islam, ready, militant, Allahu Akbar. Other parts of Islam, they're uncomfortable with. They don't like. They even give themselves the license to speak about it. And that is not a mu'min. Quran is very clear. The believers don't, we don't have an opinion. God spoke. We do our job. We embrace Islam. All of Islam. What's that? What do we recite in that dua? Raditu billahi rabba. I'm pleased with Allah as my Lord. Wa bil islami deena. I'm pleased with Islam as a religion. Not God dragging me along, I'm uncomfortable, I don't like. Islam is submission. Submission. So now back to our lessons. One of the lessons is the idea that just as we saw in these verses, if you believe with those three conditions, if you accept all of Islam, you believe, intellectual conviction, Allah makes the universe work with you. The universe cooperates with you. You're able to do things other people can't do. You'll do things that other people, short-sighted people, will see as a miracle. How can this happen? The thing is, there's principles behind this. Right? This isn't just me giving you a fairy tale or telling you one of those stories that's not true. They said once, this hillbilly family, they went to New York for the first time. So they go to New York and they're seeing everything so wonderful. New York, never been there before. Everything in New York was amazing, but especially the elevator. They came over to the elevator, the man standing with his son. He said, what is this? He said, I don't know. They saw an old lady walk up to the elevator. She pressed the button. The doors opened. She went inside. The doors closed. The lights lighted up. They went up. The lights lighted up. They went. She came. The elevator came down. And then a beautiful 24-year-old came out. And so the man, he looked at his son. He said, what just happened, Dad? He said, I don't know, but get your mom. So not like that. I want to quote ayat of the Quran. God makes the universe work with us. A promise in the Quran. I'll give you more than one. One of them. This, again, these are things that are repeated throughout the Quran I want to mention too. One of them is this. Walau also, let me give you the address. 796. 796. Walau anna ahlal qura. If the people of the towns, right? People everywhere living in this world, amanu wattaqaw. They believed and had taqwa. If they believed and had taqwa, what would we do? What do I get out of it? If I believe, if I resist, if I stay true to the path, what do I get? لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. God promises in the Quran, we would have surely opened up for them blessings from heaven and earth. The universe cooperates. The universe cooperates. The blessings, untold blessings from heaven and earth. I'll give you another one. This one's Surah 72, verse number 16. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to give you examples of these things, by the way. Let's go step by step. Let's establish the principle. We learn from Nabi Yunus. They did their part. God made them enjoy. Right? We already covered that verse. We're seeing now Allah will rain down blessings from heaven and earth. What else? وَلَوْ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ. If they will resist and stay steadfast, if they will do istiqamah, not giving up, not backing down, resisting, standing for the truth. If they will do that and stay on the path, لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا, we will pour down abundant water on them. Allah provides the believers with barakah, blessings from heaven and earth. We're able to do things other people can't do. Later I'll mention more ahadith about this same concept, but it starts, of course, we have to believe and accept and know that that's the way that it works. Brothers and sisters, as Muslims, we actually enjoy our lives. The true believer, when it says, we learned in that one dua, Raditu billah, I'm pleased with God. Not that it's a struggle. I love this. I embrace this. The joy is coming from within. We as Muslims enjoy our lives. Our challenge to those who are not in following the teachings of Islam is, why are you shortchanging yourself? Why miss out? I want to give you some of these things, but let's go step by step. Why miss out? It's different from that story that, again, is not true. They said once this little boy, he was making dua, little boy. He's talking to God. And he said, God, if you can't change me and make me a good little boy, that's okay. I'm enjoying it just as I am. Some people are thinking by not obeying God, they're enjoying. What we're trying to say is the message of Islam is you enjoy it here, then there. First you enjoy here. This is what we're trying to do for mankind. What is it the Imam is going to do? How do we get there? We'll work on that. But we enjoy life in this world. What is it? This is now from our Prophet speaking to the first Imam. Imam Ali, he says this. Ya Ali. Right? This is about the dunya, brothers and sisters. Akhirah, that's, inshallah, you'll get that also. This is something else. Allah says about the dunya. Ya Ali. Awhalla tabarak wa ta'ala ila dunya. God gave revelation to the dunya. What did he tell the dunya? He says, ukhdumi man khadamani. Serve the one who serves me. Serve the one who serves me. When you're a believer, you're a mu'min or mu'mina, you're going with the current, with the stream. The other people are fighting back against Allah's system. Allah's system has been designed in a certain way. Those who are in line with God's system get more from the dunya. People are shortchanging themselves. I heard one of those inspirational stories once. They said once there was this guy, and he was a very skilled carpenter. They say this took place someplace in Europe. Very skilled carpenter. So what this guy did was, this guy would always help other people build their houses. He's a carpenter, expert, but he never was able to save up enough money to build his own house. Working for years, but sometimes it doesn't work. He was never a homeowner. Until one day he got his big break. His big break was that the wealthiest man in the community told him that, I would like you to build me a house. I want you to build me a house. And he said, I want you to spare no expense. No expense. You go over and you build this house. I'm going on a journey. I'll be back. The man took the money. And then he thought to himself, he said, this is my chance. This is my chance. That man, he's wealthy, has so many houses. I'm going to build a house. I'll make it look beautiful. But I'm going to use inferior products. I'm going to cut corners. I know how. I'm a professional. I'll cut corners a little here, a little there, and then I'll save that money, and I'll finally be able to get my own house. And went over, and he started working and working, but he would use inferior wood, inferior products, wherever he could cut corners. They say around $40,000 he was able to save out of the budget by cutting corners, in addition to his pay. Till finally the wealthy man came back. When the wealthy man came back from the journey, he went over to see the house. And from the distance, the house looked beautiful. The wealthy man was very happy. He said, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I mean, I'm so glad that you kept in mind that I said, spare no expense, because I want to give this house to a friend, somebody who deserves this house. And he turned and he said, friend, Here are the keys to your house. The man graciously accepted the keys. But inside, if I knew this was my house, I'm building my own house. Now I'm going to be dealing with this stuff. Right? So in Islam, Allah's not cheating. Anybody who's not doing what God's, they're cheating themselves. Allah told the dunya, serve the one who serves me. Cooperate with them. Give the best of this world, then the hereafter. If the believers can take that and act on that. Salawat, please. Muhammad. Ali Muhammad. Now I want to tell you guys a true story. You guys may be able to look this up online and just see how this works. We already learned the principle. Allah makes the believers enjoy the life in this world. Allah makes the world cooperate with them. We know that. Allah's going to make us enjoy this world in a way other people don't enjoy that. We get more out of the dunya. Story now. This happened about in the 40s. About 40 years ago. So what happens is, there's a family in Syria. And this family in Syria decided to immigrate to the States, to the United States. They sell everything they have. The father goes first. And he says, I'm going to go get things set up for you in California. Once everything's set up, tickets, and you come over. So he has a wife and three daughters. This is 1979-ish, that time. He goes over, and he goes to America, gets everything set up. Tickets, we've got to go. The family flies over, their first time flying to America, very uncertain. Hardly speak any English. They go over and they land in New York City. When they land in New York City, they go over to customs, and customs tells them, okay, you're here, everything seems to be in order, but in order for us at this time to issue green cards, we have to have pictures of all of you sisters without the hijab. So they think about it. They're practicing Muslims. The mother says, okay. She takes her picture without the hijab. Older daughter takes picture without the hijab. Next daughter takes picture without the hijab. The youngest daughter, 13 years old, says, I'm not going to take the picture. I say, no, it's okay. It's okay. Just take the picture. It's going to be okay. She says, no, I'm not going to take the picture. If I need to take a picture in order to get a green card, I don't want to go. I'll go back to Syria. The family's panicking. What are you doing? The management sees this is going to happen. They send the cops, the security. They take her to the back room. They're telling her, this is America. This is how it is. They send people to talk to her. Right? 2.5 hours. They send her mother to talk to her. They send the sisters to talk to her. She said, I don't care who you send back here. If I have to take off my hijab in order to get in here, I don't want to go in here. I'll go back to Syria. When they see the situation is like this, Allah goes to work. Management, security, cops. They say, little girl, we're going to make an exception. You get to go without removing your hijab. They leave the room. The mother is so upset. You're so stubborn. You're so stupid. Why did you do this? We're here tired. I want to see my husband. They ended up missing their connecting flight. They're going to fly from there to Chicago, Chicago to California. From Chicago, they miss the flight, coordinate, we go on another flight. When they land, the father is there to greet them, and the father is crying so many tears. Alhamdulillah, you're alive. Alhamdulillah, you're alive. They said, Alhamdulillah, we're alive. What does that mean? The flight you were supposed to be on, American Airlines, flight number 191, went down. You know what the little girl told everybody else? The hijab saved us. We did what God said. We resisted. It would look difficult. We did what God said. The hijab saved us. We don't lose by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe it's difficult. Maybe it's challenging. Maybe
right? But we don't lose. Allah is on our side. More than that, brothers and sisters, these are now ahadith. I'm going to give you a hadith from our mother, Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayha. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. This is what she tells us. Man as'ada ilallah khalisa ibadatih. That person, that mu'min or mu'mina, who offers sincere worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ahbatallah ilayhi afdala maslahatih. God sends down for this mu'min or mu'mina, the person who does that sincere worship, they're trying to go above and beyond whatever Allah says, this is the way I'm going to do it. Allah sends down for them the best of his maslaha, the best of his interest, the best situation, the way that it could work out, which is the best for the believer. If we stay with a good attitude, working, doing our responsibility, Allah gives us the best. You see, brothers and sisters, Allah has promised to guide the believers in the Quran. I want to give you two verses and then give you real life application of this. One of them, Surah Yunus, again, Surah 10, verse number 9. Allah says this in the Quran, promise of God. This is for the true mu'mineen and mu'minat, those who believe in Allah's promises, who do what Allah says. God says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Truly those who believe, آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They do their responsibilities, they do the good deeds. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Their Lord, their Rabb, guides them because of their faith. Allah steps in. Allah guides. Allah guides. In Surah Baqarah, what does it say? Allah says this in Surah Baqarah. Let me give you this. This is from that longest ayat in the whole Quran. One line of that ayat is this. So verse number 282, Allah says this. Ittaqullah, have taqwa of Allah. Fear God. Be God wary. Wa yu'allimukum Allah. And Allah will teach you. Ittaqullah. So back to our shaheed. Our shaheed, the one we've been guest of for all these nights. I mentioned, brothers and sisters, part of one of his wonderful stories yesterday where he went over and went out in front of everybody else to clear a minefield. Right? He was over there. Remember the story? He was over there pushing the dirt with his gun, clearing the mine. He's going to sacrifice himself. He lived through that. What happened? So after passing that minefield, we go over, we attack the enemy position, we're able to get the enemy position, alhamdulillah, now new challenge. What's the new challenge? We're now, I said that there was a certain part of the army that the heavy lifting is on these guys. What's our mission? One of the things we have to do is we have to go over, go and attack the enemy position, right? Capture the enemy's artillery. The enemy has heavy artillery. We have to capture that artillery and we have to get to a strategic bridge. But you know, with an operation, every part of the operation depends on what you do at this stage. So at this stage, if we're successful, then that means the other stages of the other phases of the operation are going to be successful. So they go over. Now, alhamdulillah, now we're moving to go. And they can't find where the enemy is supposed to be. They start the operation at night. They're moving in a certain direction. Enemy is supposed to be there. They're walking for a long period of time, literally in the middle of the desert, lost. They say, Ibrahim Hadi went to one side. The commander goes to another side. Looking. Where are we going to do? How? We can't find where they're supposed to go. But they said, at the same time, we felt this amazing sense of tranquility and peace in the middle of that desert. To the extent that many of those brothers who were over there, they went to sleep in the middle of the desert for half an hour. While they were asleep, Ibrahim goes into sajda. Ibrahim is telling the story now, what happened. So I'm going to give you a little bit from Ibrahim himself, then after that, the rest from the shaheed who, the brother, I don't know if he's a shaheed, the one who tells the rest of the story. So Ibrahim said, it was just us and Imam Zaman in the desert. Only us. I don't know what to do at all. He says, I go into sajda. When I go into sajda, I call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of Zahra, by the right of the A'imma.
He's down there in that state of sajda, then he gets up. When he gets up, he goes to the left. When he goes to the left, because now the operation's been delayed, he goes to the left, he goes about half a mile, and he sees the enemy encampment, and the enemy's sleeping, just a few guards. He comes back. He tells the brothers, he says, look, the enemy's over here. Don't go, nobody shoot until I say, until you're told. Nobody fire. Try to save as many people as you can. Try to capture as many prisoners as you can. So they said, after that, we go over, we attack from this side. The least resistance necessary, we capture that heavy artillery. Now back to the story where they're saying. He says that, the rest of the story, the guy's telling the story. He said, Ibrahim, do you realize something? This is what God did. We were planning to attack the enemy from the front. The enemy was waiting for us. They're waiting for that attack. We got lost. Because we got lost, we're just literally, we don't know what to do. We're just sitting in the desert. Because we got lost, the enemy said, okay, there's no attack. They went to sleep. Because we were lost, we don't know where we're going, we go and we go to the back of the enemy. Allah guided them. They had taqwa, Allah guided them. Allah guided them. They were able to be successful, able to capture those things. Now, next reminder for all of us is the idea that sometimes when we're facing a long-term problem, right? Whether we're dealing with family, whether we're dealing with our health, whatever our challenges, everybody has a different challenge. Everybody has a different area. I'm trying to save my marriage. I'm trying to get a job. Whatever it is, everybody's sometimes survival is victory. Just the fact that in the end, you're still there. You're still throwing punches, right? You didn't get defeated. Like Muhammad Ali when he was fighting George Foreman, right? Floating like a butterfly, stinging like a bee. You go to the end of the 12 rounds. You survive. Survival is victory. It took Nabi Yunus 33 years, blood, sweat, and tears. Going in the well, not giving up on God. But then after that, what did Allah give him? So in the verses of the Quran, Surah 69, verse number 48, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. He says, فَاسْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. Be patient. Don't give up. Wait until the decree of your Lord comes. Survival, that's victory. I heard a little story, inshallah it's not true. They said there was a little boy, Johnny. He was misbehaving. He was misbehaving, so his mother decided to send him to the room to get his act together. So he said, Mom, I'm going to go in the room and I'm going to say a prayer. The mom said, Alhamdulillah, go say a prayer. So Johnny went into the room. So he said a prayer. When he came back, then the mom said, yeah, you know, it's so great. When you say prayer, God can help you stop misbehaving. Johnny said, I didn't say a prayer to stop misbehaving. I made prayer that you would be able to tolerate me and put up with me. You survive. Sometimes all we have to do is survive. The hadith says this, فِالصَّبْرِ الظَّفَرِ. Victory is in patience. Victory is in patience. Of course, the Ahlul Bayt have given us the signs. How do we know we're being patient? Three signs that are there in the hadith from the Prophet. One of them, he says, the first one is that we don't get lazy. I keep doing my responsibility, keep having a good attitude, keep giving it my best, stay a person of integrity, don't cut corners. What else? The next one is that the person doesn't get tired. Sometimes when you've been plugging away at a problem for a long time, internally we get tired. He said, and the third one is that he doesn't complain about his Lord. Doesn't complain about his Lord. He keeps asking for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't get bitter. Doesn't get bitter. Some people, when they are staying in faith, you hear them. I heard a story, inshallah, it's not true. Somebody doing muhasabah. Very good. Right? Talking to God.
When they're talking to God, they said this little dua. They said, God, so far today, they are trying to have patience. So far today, alhamdulillah, I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been selfish. I haven't said anything cruel. I haven't been overindulgent. And alhamdulillah, thank you, God. Thank you for that success. But you know, God, in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And when I get out of bed, I'm going to need your help then. Amen. So sometimes we have to go over, we have to put that effort and stay with God. Put that effort and stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that core message, what was that core message of Nabi Yunus? The core message of Nabi Yunus is something, meaning this is now something we have to preach. You see, there's been a secret. It's not a secret, but it's a problem for many people in the world, including the world that we're in. People don't get what it is they have to do in order to have that guardian from Allah, in order to experience God's goodness in this world. Too many people don't get this. It's a deeper understanding of the concept of Tawheed. Of Tawheed. Not just theoretically proving Allah is one. That's something else. We have to be intellectually convinced. That's something else. Understanding what Tawheed means and what social Tawheed means. Nabi Yunus was able to do on a smaller scale what Imam Mahdi will do on a smaller scale. 100,000 people, more than 100,000 people, he was able to do that. What is the secret? What did he do? Nabi Yunus was able to create a social system, a government based on Tawheed, based on one simple principle that too many times we find many Muslims, let alone non-Muslims, can't get this principle when it comes to Tawheed. Many people, it's easy for them to understand there's one God. That's not so hard. Alhamdulillah, some people can understand, at least I understand this part, that there's one God. Really, I don't believe in other idols. There's another part of Tawheed that applies to our daily lives here. It applied to, I'm going to give you a quote from, this is from Nabi Nuh, Nabi Hud, Nabi Saleh, Nabi Lut, Nabi Shu'aib, and Nabi Isa all saying this principle. So this is the message, that core message of Nabi Yunus, that people just couldn't get. What happens? Tawheed in Islam is not just to say that I don't take anyone besides Allah as a deity. That's one part of it. I don't worship a stone idol. I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. I don't, right? That's one part of it. That's one part of Tawheed. That's not all of Tawheed. There's another more subtle part of Tawheed. I want to mention the ayat of the Quran, and after that, the words of that Nabi. To understand, what was the secret of Nabi Yunus? Why was he able to do it? How come people nowadays can't do it? God says in the Quran, and surah, brothers and sisters, this is Surah 61. Allah speaks very clearly about this principle over here. Surah 6, verse number 121. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran. Inna shayateen. Definitely the shayateen. لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ. They give wahi, they communicate, they speak to their awliya. لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. In order that they dispute with you, in order that they fight against you. The shayateen. This is the kicker though. Let's look at the Arabic of this. وَإِنْ عَتَعْتُمُوهُمْ. If you obey them, if you obey them, إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. If you obey them, you are mushrikeen. In Islam, Tawheed is not just declaring that Allah is the only deity. Where is my obedience? Is my obedience to the taghut? Is my obedience to shaitan? Is my obedience to the nafs? If you obey the shayateen, then definitely, mushrikeen. Very clear from the verse of the Quran. So what is it the Anbiya would try to get through people's brains, get them to understand? We have some, so many of the prophets, these exact words, This one that I'm quoting for you, as many times in the Quran, I'm quoting one verse for you. This one is Surah 26, verse number 108. What did the prophet Nuh, right? This is the beginning of the mission. What did Nuh try to communicate to the people? He says, "Fattaqullah, have taqwa of Allah, fear God, be God-wary, wa'ati'un, obey me, obey your wali." Not only believing that Allah is one, obedience of the wali of Allah. The wali of Allah. When we see that in Iran they've been able to establish the divine government, at least to a certain extent, what was the secret? Tawheed. Obey Allah and the wali. This is a verse, this is now another verse of the Holy Quran. Surah 9, because some people wouldn't get this. Surah 9, verse number 31. Allah says this, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They took, the people of the book, they took أحبارهم, their scholars, ورهبانهم, their monks, to be أرباب. You have Rab, Arbab. They took him as lords. Min dunillah. Instead of worshiping Allah, they did this. So what happens is, Adi, one of the Muslims, he becomes a Muslim later, he was coming from this background of Ahl al-Kitab, and he said, I don't see how this makes sense. He said, I was a Christian. We never worshipped our scholars and monks. We didn't worship our scholars. What is the Quran saying? Rasulullah asks him a question. God, the Prophet said this, Alaysa, was it not the case, إِذَا كَانُوا أَحَلُّ لَهُمْ شَيْئًا, when they would go over and make something that God had forbidden, they would make it halal. Istahallu, they would consider it to be halal. They would obey them. God says this, instead of me obeying God, I obey the scholar, the monk. He says, وَإِذَا حَرَّمُوا عَلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا, they forbid something that God said was halal. حَرَّمُوا, they said, oh, it's haram, we can't do it. Somebody besides God making laws. When he said this, فَقَالَ عَدِي, Adi responded, he says, بَلَى, yeah, that happened. That's happening all the time. How many times right now in the church? How many of God's laws are being changed? Religion evolving. What did God say about homosexuality? Right? What are we saying nowadays? What does it say in the Old Testament? Right? So many times. He's like, yeah, that's always happening. So then the Rasulullah responded, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَتُهُمْ, that is ibadah of them. No one but God rules. اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and we have to atiyun, to obey that wali of Allah, salawatullahi alayhim ajma'in. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So we thank Sheikh Osama again for another beautiful lecture. And inshallah, in keeping up with the theme of what Maulana was discussing, we're going to show our last video for the month that will be highlighting some of the oppression that's happening in Palestine, again in leading up to Yawm al-Quds al-Alami. And we will see, inshallah, we'll be able to see where our duty lies for this upcoming Yawm al-Quds. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
You know, you hear a lot of information about the Palestinians being oppressed. I thought it was very important to come here to get on the ground, be with the people, to really see with my own eyes what's going on here in Palestine.
I felt it would be helpful and advantageous to have a team of U.S. veterans to come to Palestine. As you know, veterans have a special voice and a special platform to speak from.
The atrocities that I supported by being in Iraq, I felt like, you know, to give back, I wanted to come here, witness with my own eyes, and do what I can to make things right from the wrongs that I have created and been a part of.
You look around, you see the walls. It's absolutely insane. You have 30-foot high walls in some places. This is like prison. How do you do this? And we saw demolished homes. How do you demolish someone's home like that? Just wantonly, all over the place. It's insane. Yeah, it's happening thousands of miles away from where I live. But it affects me. What did Martin Luther King said? Injustice anywhere to anyone is injustice everywhere. I know that myself and the other veterans that are on this trip feel an obligation as a human being, in order to stay human, is to stand on the side of justice, whatever that takes.
Things are a little intense.
I'm embarrassed by what you're doing.
Still bleeding.
I will say that this is one of the best. And it's been an honor to be here with each one of the people on this team.
My name is Mike Haynes. I was a Force Reconnaissance Marine in the Iraq War, and now I'm a veteran for peace. You know, you hear a lot of information about the Palestinians being oppressed. I thought it was very important to come here to get on the ground, be with the people, to really see with my own eyes what's going on here in Palestine. So Iyad told us a story about the Israeli soldiers coming into his home at night.
Last night when you showed the film, and you were talking about soldiers, you know, bussing in your homes. And that's what we did. That's what we did in Iraq. I did that.
That made things very real for me.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think maybe a lot of Americans don't really think about that too much. I mean, imagine yourself, you're in your home, you're with your family, and someone comes busting in your door, you know, a squad of people with weapons, and they're just loaded down with weapons, and many times blacked out their faces, and take people out of their homes. That's very, very horrifying. I remember the screams of little girls, and little girls literally soiling themselves and peeing their pants. That hits you. That hits you right here. You know, that's really hard.
So we'd like to thank everybody for coming out. Inshallah, we will see everybody on Tuesday for the birth of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, and then in the nights to come for the Nights of Power and the Know Your Rights seminar. And inshallah, most importantly, we will see everybody on Yawm al-Quds. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.